This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
I really don't pride myself in my ability to teach children. I love teaching adults. I love teaching, but put me in a room full of children, and I feel like almost like a fish out of water kind of thing. And so that's a testimony to the teachers that we have here. And so I love that we have a whole group that's willing to be able to pour into lives of students and lives of children. So thank you so much for those that are willing to do that, not just this week, but week in and week out, that are going downstairs right now and teaching our little ones. So it's amazing. You might be wondering, what is VBS? I keep throwing around this word VBS. What is VBS? Well, VBS stands for Vacation Bible School, right? So why do we do a VBS? It is not, as my neighbor said. I was talking with my neighbor who every day was watching us as we did our front yard VBS, and I was asking him what he thought. He said, "Yeah, it's good that you finally put some religion into some of these kids. You know, they need it, right?" So that's not what VBS is to put religion into kids, right? That is not what we're trying to do. But it's spending a focused time with children, trying to make it a fun environment to learn with their peers what God has done for them. If you went to a vacation Bible school growing up, I'm sure you have memories of that. So we're creating memories for these kids as they learn about Jesus. It's impactful for them. You might be thinking, well, it's just free babysitting for people in the community, right? We're just offering some free babysitting to get the kids out of the house for a little bit. Sure, if we get to teach them Jesus, I'll take it, right? If you're letting me to teach your kids all about the wonders of the grace and the love of God, then I'll take it. Whatever you want to call it, I'll take it. We have repeat kids that come week in and week out that come just for this VBS. We have certain kids that just come and enter this building just for the VBS. And I love that we get to tell them the best news in the world. So Paul reminds Timothy, he says, I'm reminded of the faith that you had when you were a small child, and for you to remember that faith that you had when you were a child and to grow into that. And so that's what we're doing with these children, is to instilling the faith in these children. So it's a great opportunity for us, and it's a great opportunity that we have this morning. You may think that the only reason that we're going through the VBS days is because, Phil is supposed to be up here, but he has a surgery, so now we're doing Plan B. You may be right, but I think it's a divine opportunity. I think this is God's providence, that this is not a mistake to the Lord. He knew this plan before. We didn't know it, but he did, and so we're just walking into that, and so that's what excites me. But I believe that that's what he's done, that God has stopped us in our tracks in 1 Corinthians so that we can focus on this as a church family. That this isn't, I want you all to understand that this is not some project that's put on by Mandy, right? This is our project. This is our church's outreach. It's our church's work. It's our ministry together as a family, as one body. We talk about in 1 Corinthians that we are one body and individually members of the one body. And this is an expression, this VBS is an expression, how we are all united under this to declare the glories of Christ to another generation. So it's an opportunity for us to pause and to come together, rally around these kids in our community and the workers that are coming together to put this on. It's an opportunity to learn alongside them what they're learning, an opportunity to bring them before the Father. It's an opportunity to have a true fellowship. Yes, I'm using that word, fellowship. It's a partnership. It's what we have. We have a partnership together in this work for the sake of the mission of making Christ known in our community. So the theme of this week, the theme that we have is Spark Studios, and it's built on Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do." That's the theme verse this week. The kids will be memorizing that verse. And so all these days just stem out and just fleshes all out what that means. And it breaks it down into five different days that God, the grand artist, has designed and created each one of us for an eternal purpose. And he does that through Christ, through Jesus, so that we might also do the works that he does. So let's look. Let's look at each of these days that are broken down for us. Again, if you have the notes, you'll see each of those days. And I'm just gonna walk us through each one of that. And after each point, one of us in the body is going to pray for a certain aspect of VBS. And so you can join us in prayer for that. So the first thing that we look at is God, the marvelous creator. So we start right there at the very beginning. God is the original creator, the original artist. The original studio, that we are his studio that he has performed in. The author, what we're drawing from, Psalms 104. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 104. It's a beautiful, beautiful psalm that just walks through creation. And the psalmist was David. David wrote this psalm, and he's looking around creation. He is just mesmerized by it. He is just, you can just tell his jaw is just dropped because as he looks around at this creation, it starts out in the first several verses. It talks about how the heavens are formed by God. He lays out the beams of his chambers. He makes the clouds his chariots. He rides on the wings of the cloud, the wings of the wind, and he's just setting the earth on its foundation. So we have this big vision of the galaxies, how big the galaxy is. Have you ever seen some of those videos that are made on YouTube about how big the galaxy is and how small our sun is compared to some of the other stars that are out there? Like, some of those videos are just amazing. Just YouTube galaxy, how big the galaxy is, right? I think of Star Wars. And they have to, on their spaceships, they have to go into hyperdrive, right? Have you ever seen those scenes? And as they go into hyperdrive, like, the stars are just, like, fading in the background. Like, that's how, I love that vision of seeing, like, how big our galaxy is, or how big our universe is. And God put each one of those stars there. And it's his beautiful creation that he has made. He has formed each one of them. But see, those are the things that we can't see. We can't see the stars. We can't see the massiveness of the galaxies. And so the psalmist breaks it down. He goes down, okay, so what are the things that we can see? What are those aspects of creation that is, again, just marvelous? The mountains and the valleys. We look around, we see these mountains and valleys. Well, maybe not in Kansas. That's why we go to Colorado for vacation, so you can see the mountains and valleys, the big grandness of God's creation. And we see the plants and the grass and the water. I'm just amazed how every year, I'm kind of a novice at botany. I'm not been historically a gardener. So we planted some flowers around our house, and Mandy helped us do that. And the winter came, and like the flowers just like shriveled to nothing. It ended up like there was nothing there in the ground anymore. And I'm like, well, we just screwed that up. We messed it all up. We just spoiled these flowers, and we're going to plant something again in the spring. The spring came around, and they sprouted again. Like, they just, like, came up. And I was like, I thought they were dead. Like, there was nothing there. Like, I was like, my kids were trampling on that area, and it's like, all of a sudden, it comes back up. Like, how does that happen? I'm sorry, I'm not a scientist, but it's just, like, amazing. That's what the psalmist is going on. He's like, it's the Lord that does this. He's the one that's putting the seed in the ground. He's causing all these things to sprout up, and it's amazing. He goes and he starts to talk about who feeds the creation. Who's feeding all of these animals that are out there? Who makes sure that every animal has its nourishment? There's one video that we watched. You know those nature videos that's put out there on National Geographic Discovery channels and Planet Earth videos? And there's one Planet Earth video that we watched, and it talked about how this polar bear was starving, and it was so hungry, and so it was hunting after these baby seals and was like trying to grab these baby seals, but the seals were like, you know, escaping and was running away from them, and the polar bear just couldn't catch them. And it's like, who am I supposed to cheer for here? Do I cheer for the starving polar bear, or do I cheer for the baby seal? Like, Which one are they trying? They're almost like they're painting the picture that I should be cheering for both, right? And this is like the Lord. He is causing each one. He's giving nourishment to each one in the food chain, and it's unfathomable how he can do that. We have great works of art, and those don't even compare with God's art. In all of God's creation around us, we see that the most wonderful thing is that we see a glimpse of who God is. We see his beauty, we see his wisdom, we see his love in each part of the creation. So look around you and just be amazed at what God has made. Even in the menial tasks, praise God that as you mow the lawn, he's the one who's sprouting this grass to grow, and we get to see beautiful grass. Praise God on a road trip that you're on, and you get to see different parts of the country. In the heat, praise God that he makes different seasons. It doesn't have to be cold all the time. Praise God that he has different weather patterns. This is what he has done. And in all these, see God's divine, gracious, loving hand of provision, his care for each of his creation, and how he is always at work, even for the most minute of his creation. So I want to invite Harold to pray and to thank God for this week, for the curriculum, for our director, for the funds that we have available. So Harold, could you pray for us right now?
Father, we thank you for this very special week in the life of this part of your body, for this church. We thank you that there are people like Mandy and Jandy who have been willing to be the directors for this, have done a lot of planning, and with a lot of help are bringing it to pass. We thank you for the curriculum that has been selected, and we pray that it will be meaningful to each of the children that attend, and also to the adults who are bringing it to pass. We look forward to what you are doing in this week. We thank you also for the funds that have been provided, which provide the curriculum, which provide all the other things that have been made already and are being created through this week. Bless this special week, Lord. Bless it to your glory, and help each one of us to be a prayer warrior for you, for this Bible school, and that we may bring glory to your name through all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now, the second day, now as we learn that God is the creator, now we look at God has a unique design for each of us. And he has a purpose for each of us. He's uniquely designed us for his purpose. So this David, the guy who wrote this last psalm in Psalm 104, I'm sure he's just sitting in his field, amazed at God's creation, writing songs about God, for God, when his world just completely gets rocked, right? So David was a shepherd at the time. He was just watching his fields, and then Samuel comes and appoints him as king of God's people. I just can't imagine what he would just go from watching the field, doing his menial work of watching sheep, to becoming the king of God's people. This wasn't a change in God's plan. It's not like, oh man, not like with us, we have to figure out what to do with the pulpit now that it fills out, right? It's like, no, this was God's divine purpose, that it wasn't Saul that messed up and now we had to find some random guy in the field. No, God had uniquely designed David for this purpose. And you remember studying 1 Samuel a couple of years ago. You guys had walked through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, and David was described as a man after God's own heart. I used to understand that as, okay, well, David pursued after God. He wanted God's heart, and that's why he was chosen as king, because he wanted God. He was going after God's heart. But I don't think that's what that means. I think it's rather David was one that was chosen by God, was one that was already in line with God's heart. God's heart was after him. Right? God's heart was for him. And so David was that one that was marked out by God's heart as the chosen one for this task. And it's the same for each one of us, right? God has a unique design for each of us and for his purposes. It might not be some nice, cushy kingship like David. Hebrews 12 talks about a whole bunch of guys who were called for God's purposes, and it didn't end up in a posh situation. For many of them, it says that they were beheaded, they were sawn in two, they were burned at the stake. That was God's purposes for them. But what joy and what honor it is to be called according to God's purposes. And that these were works that God prepared from all eternity for us to do. And sometimes it's going to be unexpected. Sometimes it's not going to make sense, but it's going to be perfect in God's eyes. My story is similar to that. So more than 10 years ago, I was pursuing after getting a teaching position somewhere in the Midwest. I was thinking, okay, God has designed me because I love to teach, and so God has designed me as a teacher, and so I'm going to teach at a college. I'm going to teach somewhere near family, and that's going to be my dream. That's how God wired me. When a pastor in South Asia contacted me and said, hey, would you be willing to do that here? And I said, nope, that's not a part of God's design. I already made up God's mind for him, so sorry, no way. But then the Spirit began to say, but are you sure? Are you sure that's my design? And I began to look at my life. I began to look at Julie and I's life, how he has wired us to be, let's just say, a little weird, a little different. We'd be able to say, all right, we can give up maybe this life and go live overseas in a weird, crazy environment because we're crazy, right? So, yeah, I guess maybe this does make sense in God's perfect design. And so we pursue after that. And then now coming back a couple years ago and thinking, but wait a second, us living here in the U.S., this can't be God's design now. No, I have to be going overseas. Now, God has wired me. He's designed me to live somewhere overseas. And so I'm pressing. I'm saying, where are we going to move overseas? And God's saying, right here in Hutchinson, Kansas. That's where I'm placing you. That's my design for you is right here. And I'm saying, but no, it has to be there. And God's like, but I thought you already said I was designed for this. And I'm like, no, you changed that in me, right? Sometimes our design is not what we expect, right? Sometimes we step into that by faith, and God equips us for that exact work. So what has he designed you for? What has he fashioned you for? What are some of those good works from before the foundation of the world that he has designed you for? And do you believe that? Do you believe that you are designed for God's purposes? What is your purpose? So I'm going to invite Mike Penner to, again, pray for us, specifically for the workers, for strength and perseverance for the workers at VBS. So go ahead, Mike.
Lord, we just thank you for this morning. And just, Lord, as we lift up our VBS that's happening this week, Lord, we pray for the workers, the volunteers that have put in hours preparing for this, and will put in hours this week working with the kids. We think of the music and the crafts, the games, the greeters, helpers, snack personnel, Lord. Each person has a part in this, Lord. Just ask for perseverance as they go throughout the week. As the days and nights get weary and long, Lord, just give them perseverance to make it through. And Lord, may their hearts not grow weary in doing good. And Lord, we pray that the fruit of the Spirit would be evident and on display in their lives, Lord, as they minister to these kids in each different way, whether it's the games or serving snacks and drinks or helping with crafts, Lord. May these kids see in them you. May they see you at work in their lives, and may the kids' hearts be open to the gospel during this week. Just ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Now the third day, after we've seen that God has created all the world, now he's designed us for a specific purpose, a unique purpose, and now we see that Jesus is the king that has promised to save us. Because here's the problem. You go back to David, right, who wrote this beautiful song, who was chosen to be God's king, and the problem was is David didn't live up to God's design. He failed miserably in several different areas of his life. Rape and murder, to name a couple, that would be a pretty big issues to not following after God's design. So he failed. He sinned against God's good design, tried to go his own way in disobedience against this good and perfect God who called him for a good and perfect plan for his good and for God's glory. And the thing is, we've messed up too. Here's the bad news. We've messed up. We messed up that God's design in our life. And I'm not talking about how we've got the wrong job, or that we've moved to the wrong location, or that we've made some bad financial decision. That's not the design I'm talking about. I'm talking about the way that we don't love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind and strength, and we don't love others as ourselves. That's God's design. That's God's basic design for us, and we have marred. We have decided to say, "Yeah, I don't think I want to do that. I want to go my own way. I want to do my own thing. I don't want to love God. I'd rather love myself. I don't want to love others. I'd rather love myself." And we go that way, and we ruin that God's design for us. What happens when we disobey God and we go our own way? Well, the illustration that I used to illustrate this to the kids in my front yard VBS is, I said, you all have Legos, right? And you build with Legos. And so, or hopefully you all know what Legos are, right? The little building blocks. And so my kids love Legos, and they are like building these big, massive creations. And with the Legos, they have these little minifigures, right? Little minifigures, man, woman, whatever, right? And usually put them in their little scenarios. Now imagine you said, oh, I'm going to give life to that little Lego man. Okay, and then that Lego man, and you have this design, you've built this big structure, and you've built this big home for them, and you've, this is what I'm going to do with this Lego man. This is going to be awesome, right? And this Lego man's going to have this perfect life in this design. Well, this Lego man comes to life, and he's like, you know what? I don't like you, Luke. I don't like any of your build. I'm going to go ahead and destroy all of your build, and I'm going to make my own thing, and I'm going to hurt all the other minifigures that are also around here. And I asked the kids, what would you do with that minifigure? You know what their answer was? I'd break that thing apart. I'd rip it out. I'd rip it straight. Somebody said, I'd eat it. I'd eat that minifigure. I'm like, well, don't eat it. Might not be a good idea, right? But you get the point. Like, no, that thing is not how I... He's going against my own design. And so therefore, like, I have to get rid of this thing, or it's going to ruin all the rest of my creation. Right, he's actually hurt me by hurting others, and he's going against my own design. Well, that's what hell is. Hell is that. Is we who have disobeyed God said, you know what, I know what your design is, but I don't want that design. I'd rather have my own design. And we destroy people around us, we destroy relationships, we destroy God's good creation. And so the right thing to do, the most natural thing to do is say, for the Lord to do would be to punish us. To punish us and to send us, that the right thing to do would be to send us to hell. And he does do that. But we need a rescue. If that's the case, then we need a rescue. We need to get back to God's grand purposes. We must get right before God. So that's why then God sends Jesus. And who is this Jesus? And who is Jesus? That's what he asks his friends. He says, who am I? Who do people say that I am? Is Jesus a teacher? Is he a prophet? Is he just a pretty good guy? Who is Jesus? Who is this man that has supposedly lived this life? Well, he is the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ, not Christ is, so when you hear Jesus Christ is not his last name, okay? So I know that some people might think, hey, when you say Jesus Christ, Jesus first name, Christ last name. No, Christ is his title. Christ means anointed one. It means the one that was chosen by God for a certain task from eternity past. So Jesus, title, Christ, right? So that's who he is. He is the Christ, the Son of God, and he is this perfect king, the one that will deliver us from our destruction and doom and restore our design and restore our purpose. So who do you say that he is? Who is he to you? Who is he? Is he your Christ? Is he your Savior? Who can you say that he is? I'm going to invite Doris to pray for us, to pray for the teachers who's going to be teaching this message. It's going to be bringing Christ to all these students. So Doris, could you stand and pray and lead us in prayer in that?
Father, first of all, we praise you. that you give spiritual gifts to your children, and you have blessed this church with men and women you've gifted to teach. Thank you that you enable them, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, to teach you to your truth, your word, your gospel. So enable them this week, Lord, to teach it well, that they will make your gospel, your word, clear to the children, that they will know how to communicate that, that they will have that ability to speak the truth in love, and that the children will sense your love coming through them as well as your truth. I pray that you'll guide them through each day. I pray that for your protection over them, Lord, from those spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, they and their families. And I pray that you will bring glory to yourself by using these men and women. Thank you again for them. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. So Jesus is the Savior. He has come and he has fulfilled God's plan to save us. Jesus came from heaven with a purpose, for a purpose. He existed from all eternity and he entered into his creation for a unique design. And that was to save his people from their sins. He lived a completely perfect life, living the life that God has designed for each one of us in holiness, in righteousness, in purity, in love. And he went around doing good to all. He loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He loved others as himself. Just read through the Gospels and see how many times people were just amazed at who Jesus was, amazed at his teachings, amazed at his acts of love, just amazed at who he is. And in the greatest display of love that the world has ever seen, he went to the cross to bear the punishment that we deserve, to bear the shame that was ours before God. And God put the full weight of his wrath on Jesus, the full weight of judgment on Christ for his people. And only he could bear it. Only he could bear it because he was God himself and our only representative because he was also man. And he was buried. This guy, he died dead as a doornail. No breath. There was zero heartbeat in him. But the story doesn't end there. The story doesn't end there. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He defeated death, and he secured our salvation for us. We no longer have to bear our sins anymore. He took them away. Death doesn't have the last say. His resurrection does, and he is alive forevermore, reigning as king today. And this is the great exchange. This is the great exchange that he has given to us. That your sinful, disobedient, guilty, shameful heart, in exchange for his pure, sinless, lovely, perfect heart. And all this by faith, by trusting in Jesus completely and nothing in yourself to change it. That's the beauty of John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him doesn't perish, doesn't die, but has everlasting life. He promises to give you this. Do you have this today? Do you have Christ's life in you but by faith? Have you repented of going your own way and come to Christ and say, I need your forgiveness. I need your cleansing. I want to live by your design. And Jesus, the only way I can do that is by you cleansing me and giving me your heart and taking away my dirty heart. Have you done this today? If you haven't, will you talk to someone? Will you talk to someone today about this? John Wilson, he's there in the green shirt holding the cute baby. He's going to be there afterwards. If you have any questions, if you have any concerns, if you want to talk to him, pray with him about that, he's going to be available after the service at the front. He would love to be able to talk with you about that. And Tom Dixon, I'd ask for you to come and to pray, to stand where you're at, and to pray for our children. Who is going to hear this exact message, hear this message from their teachers, and that they would be impacted by this message.
Father, you are so good. And even Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? Their answer was, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, I pray that you would work in the children's hearts this week. Lord, you're powerful enough. You can do anything, and you can see that the blood of Jesus reconciled us to yourself, gave us peace with you. So I pray the seeds that are planted this week would grow, and these children would see the, just the glory of who you are and what you've accomplished. They would understand grace and mercy of what you've done for us. It's such a great thing, Father. We cannot forget. So I pray that the workers would just be real and just pour into these children's hearts the Word of God, the message of salvation, of redemption, for you are our true Redeemer, Lord. So I just pray with all this. And safety, Lord, it's going to be a hot week. So I pray for safety for these kids and the workers as they do all the things that they do. Lord, that things will be done for, again, for your purposes and your glory. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. So it might look like at this point, okay, if Jesus is in heaven, that he abandoned us to fulfill this design on our own. And yes, we have the power of the resurrection, but wouldn't it be great if we had Jesus with us all the time? Wouldn't that be great? And that's what Jesus asked his disciples. It would be great if you had us, if you had me with you all the time, but it's not gonna be possible. He says, actually, it's better that I go away. Some of you, when I talked about this with my VBS, I said, many of you have best friends, right? Imagine if you could be with your best friend all the time. Wouldn't that be awesome? You didn't have to go home at the end of the day. You didn't have to go. You could just have, it's a perpetual slumber party with your friend. Like, yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be so cool, man. Definitely. Well, that's what Jesus promises us. He says, it's better that I go away so that the Spirit can come to each one of you. And I am then with you always to the end of the age. And so that's what we have in this last day. This last day we hear how the Holy Spirit is our helper. Helper in being the design, that this creation, these to help us to do these good works that God has prepared beforehand. And so he is this, not just a friend, but also a helper. He empowers us for these good works. So now coming back full circle to our theme verse, God created us, designed us for these good works for his glory. Even though we messed it up, he fixes it through Jesus and empowers us to do them by his Spirit every moment. One of the crafts that we did with our kids is I gave pieces of paper to all the young kids, and I paired them up with an older kid. And I told the older ones, I said, now, I'm going to give the pen to the younger ones, and you have to design, they have to draw this picture. So it could be a picture of an elephant, could be a picture of a star, it could be, you know, whatever. But the older kids could not take the pen, could not take the marker and do it themselves. They had to coach and help the younger ones. And they said, but my brother, you know, one of the kids was like, you know, 4 years old, like Gail says, how can he can't draw a star. I said, that's your job, is to help them and to teach and to train. And that was an illustration to illustrate how God, in the same way, helps us and teaches and trains us. And we go out and we do those acts. He's not going to do them, but he's going to use us. He's going to empower us to do those tasks. Part of the good works that we have for us is the VBS offering, right? That's one of the good works that we get to be a part of. And if you look in the back of your sermon notes, you'll see the opportunity that we have, which is to partner with the church in Eastern Europe for the sake of empowering them for their good works in their communities in Eastern Europe to provide aid and support and help. We talked last week with Joe and the works that he's doing on the ground in Eastern Europe. And so we said, all right, we're going to take that, we're going to tag along that, and we're going to help support the work that Joe is doing in Eastern Europe. And so we'd love for you to partner in with that. And that doesn't just mean, well, I don't have kids in VBS. You can still contribute and donate to that work there. Just if you go online to crestviewhutch.org and go to the giving page, there's actually a drop down. You can go to the VBS offering and do it that way if you're comfortable. Or just on your check, just write VBS offering to do that. Well, my concluding questions is, how has God designed you? How has he wired you? to serve in this church, to serve this community? What is the master story that God is designing in your life for His glory? How are you going to join God in the grand works that He's doing around the world? And what a blessing it is to be involved in that. What a joy and what a privilege to be empowered to do the good works that God has prepared ahead of time for us to do. Would you pray with me? God, I do ask that you would bless each and every one of the workers. Would you bless the families? Would you bless the kids? Would you bless the parents that they come with? Would you bless the community around us? Would we have eternal effects with what we do this week as a church body? Would you allow the community to see that we are one body, that we are one unit around this? This is not just individual members, but we are doing this as a family. Would they be able to see that? And Lord, I do echo the prayers. I join in one heart and one mind with the prayers that have been spoken today. Would you bless the kids? Would you open up their hearts? Bless the teachers. Bless the workers. And I thank you for the unique opportunity that we have to declare your gospel to these little ones that you love, that you adore. And Lord, that you would choose by your divine grace to open up the hearts of them. They may receive your gospel, and these seeds would be planted deep right down to the very roots of them. Lord, do this for your name's sake. Do this because we want everyone to know that you are the Lord, that you are the King, that you are the rescuer. And so would you do this for your name's sake, we pray. Amen.